Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I'm delighted to be here with you on this Friday day of prayer. And what is our Friday day of prayer? It's a day when you call in with your prayer intentions, and we pray with you for all of those special intentions that you have in your hearts. And this is a perfect time to do it because we're in the holy season of Lent, a time in which we prepare for Good Friday and the Passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may rise gloriously with Him on Easter Sunday. Now, I have a full program for you today. So, I'm going to be sharing with you a wonderful story, a wonderful witness, and it's really special. The last program that I shared with you, I was telling you a little of my background because a friend of mine had said, you know, Grace, tell us about you. You didn't tell us about your background, where you came from. So I did all that on my previous program. But to just touch on that a little, I'm a woman who spent most of my adult life in show business. I was a singer. I performed in many of the hotels and clubs of different parts of the world. Now, the story I have for you last week, the one I shared with you last week, was a time when I was booked in a beautiful place called Acapulco. And I was there to perform in a hotel. But what happened was the Lord seemed to have some other things in mind, because I did perform, but it turned into a beautiful spiritual experience. I had no idea that was going to happen. Our God is an awesome God. Now, as I said, I'm going to share a story with you eventually as part of this program. What happened was, I spent about a month. I was booked for a month in a place called Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, that was pretty far, and I was a little nervous about that, but again, for a month I was going to be in this beautiful hotel, but our God is an awesome God. He had some other things in mind, and again, it turned into a spiritual journey. It's amazing. Had no idea it was going to happen. But what I went there for and what it turned out to be two different things. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to begin with prayer as we always do. And then I'll give you our phone numbers. And then we will pray for your intentions. That always comes first. Praying for your needs is always first. And after we go through some of those, again, we'll then go into the witness, the story I was telling you about. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, what a blessing to be able to pray with our brothers and sisters, your children who are with us today. And Lord, through all of our sufferings, our fears, our disappointments, you are by our side, ready to uphold us with your glorious, victorious right hand. And you promise, Lord, never to abandon us. Never. Never. And we see this holy season of Lent as a season of your sacrifice. You never backed down, Lord. You kept moving on and moving on right to that hill of Calvary, where you died for us. You faced the torture, the brutality, the hatred, but you walked through all of it with that heavy wooden cross upon your shoulder. You were beaten, you were spit upon, you were laughed at. Lord, you were laughed at. How could we doubt for one moment that you are beside us when you did that for us already, and you don't take love back. No, Lord, you don't take love back. So, Lord, help us today to look at you and see you actually holding us in your arms, in your wounded arms. Let us feel you touching our faces with your hand, with your pierced hand. And no matter what we've done in life, Lord, no matter what we have done, your merciful, forgiving love envelops our wounded hearts, and you place us so deep in your sacred heart. Individually, you place us so deep in your sacred heart. You love us that much. No, you won't ever abandon us. You are always beside us. Amen. And amen. So I have some phone numbers for you. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. I'll say them again. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. You call in. We'll pray for your intentions. In fact, we have some intentions right here that we can start with. And I'm going to ask you, you're part of this ministry. I'm going to ask you, as we're praying for your brothers and sisters, that in your heart you be part of that prayer praying for them. And I know you are. In fact, Kathleen McCarthy always says she has the greatest prayer warriors right here. You people are so faithful, so attentive to the needs of others. And that's what we're going to ask you to do as I'm praying for some of these intentions. Let's see. We have here Gail. Gail had a knee replacement this week. God bless you, Gail. That had to be very painful. I'm sure it was painful even before the replacement. So you are right now going through that healing process. And Lord, we call upon you to bless Gail. I thank you that she had the courage to go through this surgery. Lord, it's not easy when you make up your mind to go through something that is hurting you so much, and it just kind of reaches the point where you just can't bear it anymore. So I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Your hands, Gail, if you just picture the Lord's hands, one on each knee of yours, and just believe in your heart, he's carrying you through this, and he will be with you the whole time. We have Steve here. Steve is having a procedure done. It doesn't say what the procedure is, but it doesn't matter, Steve, because the Lord knows. And we know he's by your side through all of this. He's with you, carrying you through this, Steve. So don't be fearful. Be trusting that he is with you. Now we have another Steve here. Let's see. It says Steve is having heart surgery. Now I don't know if it's the same Steve. They're in two separate things here, but that's okay because Steve, heart surgery. We know you're worried. You're probably worried going through that, and that is understandable. And Lord, we're going to ask you, Lord. We're going to ask you, Lord, that you be beside Steve. We're going to ask you with your sacred heart that the blood from your sacred heart flows into Steve's heart, flows into that whole area. And that the surgery is a success, and when he wakes up, he will be rejoicing. That is what we pray for you, Steve, as you come through these things. God bless you, Steve. God bless you. We have some more here. Janice. Janice is 38 years old. Janice has brain cancer, and the tumor causing the brain cancer shrinks. And then it grows back. She has dealt with this for 13 years, which means, Janice, this probably started with you at the age of 25. Oh, my. And for 13 years, that must be so difficult that you hear and see that the brain cancer is shrinking, and then it grows back. But for 13 years, that is unbelievable. In fact, here it says she's almost blind. Her eyes open a little, She walks with a special walker. And says there isn't much they can do. They're about to try a new treatment on her. She always tries with help to go to daily mass. My. Janice, that is so beautiful. Janice, with all that you're going through, you try to get to daily mass. That you are so beautiful, so faithful, and the Lord loves you so much. Probably hard to believe when you're going through all of this. But the fact that you keep going tells me in your heart you truly love him too. So we're going to pray somehow, some way, Lord, wisdom for the doctors to know where to go with this, how to treat Janice. 38, she's a young woman, Lord. She still has her whole life ahead of her. We're believing that. And we're going to pray for that doctor or doctors to come up to know with what they can do with that cancer tumor that keeps coming back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're trusting and believing, Lord. Nothing is impossible for you. We have here, let's see, Paul. Paul has Parkinson's. I believe Paul had a fall at home, which can happen when you're struggling with Parkinson's. And Paul had a brain bleed. He was in the hospital for 17 days, and he lost a lot of core strength. He has come to the point where he needs additional help. His wife has come to the realization that she cannot provide the care that he needs at home. So she is looking for an assisted living place for him. The brain bleed did stop, but there are additional issues here. How difficult is this? A couple here, you know, we get older, these conditions come upon us, and here he has this fall with his Parkinson's, lost a lot of his core strength. His wife has come to the realization that in itself is difficult, that she cannot provide the care he needs at home. So we pray she's looking for an assisted living place. We pray you the right place, and I bless you, his wife, I bless you, that you have probably been going through this for a while, and it's also difficult for him knowing he has to have this help. So we pray for both of you, knowing that nothing is impossible. The Lord will follow you wherever you are, whatever place you're living in, he will be there. We are pleased the brain bleed did stop, and we pray you both through this with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm looking here. We have, I'm praying here for my dear friend, Janet. Many of you met Janet when I would give my concerts. She would help with the concerts and the CDs and talk with people who ask questions. And Janet is so beautiful. Janet had come down about 5 years ago with dementia, Alzheimer's. And she is now in home hospice. That is very painful for me. It's a great, great woman, a great gal. Thank God. I saw her last week. She still knows me. We still can talk. And I just pray for her. I pray, Lord, that whatever you're doing with her, that it will be peaceful. I know it will, because even when she was well, she would always say, when you would mention the name St. Joseph, she would say, I love St. Joseph. He's such a kind, peaceful man. She would say that. And at the time when she was going through all this, I bought her a necklace with St. Joseph, baby Jesus. He's holding baby Jesus. She loved it. She would hold it and move it back and forth. She loved it. And when I saw her last week, I came with a beautiful little card with St. Joseph holding the baby Jesus. And all I said to her was, I had forgotten some of the other things. And I said, Janet, I said, I have a little holy card for you of St. Joseph. She didn't pause for a minute. She says, I love St. Joseph. Well, we know St. Joseph is the patron of a happy death. And Joseph, I know you're with her. I know you love her so much. In fact, that's what I had put on her medal. To Janet, my special child, love St. Joseph. I had that put on her medal. So I pray for Janet. And I pray here for, let's see, prayed with, I spoke with Anne McGlone last night. Anne McGlone, great. Great host of one of the programs on In His Sign Network. And she had a terrible fall, as you know. She fell from the bleachers at a game, a sports event, And I want to tell you, she really hurt her body, hurt herself. She's still recuperating. She still has a lot more to go. Kathleen McCarthy prays for her all the time. We had a wonderful conversation last night, and all I could do was compliment her on her tremendous interviewing ability when she has a guest, and even when she's alone on the program, she's a great, great host. So, Anne, if you're listening, we pray you well. I pray for all of our listeners right now. Some of you have already experienced Anne's programs, and pray for Anne that her healing be speeded up. We're praying for you, Anne. Get better. Come on. Get better. We miss that voice of yours, Anne. And we thank Jim for being the help that he is to you. So, anyway, we have here, we'll try to get one more in here. Gina has a prosthetic arm. She was in some injury years ago where it was cut off. She has a prosthetic arm. She went through many surgeries, a lot of pain, infections, but that was eventually healed. She's in a good place now with that, with her arm. But she fell. And where did she fall? Her other arm. Her right arm. She has had 4 surgeries on that arm. She keeps getting infections because whatever they're putting in there breaks. And she comes down with these infections. So now she's seeing another doctor who said, look, you have to let this heal. You can't just go back home and start. Her husband has the remains of COVID and pneumonia, and she tries to clean around everything. The doctor said, look, I'm putting you in a place. I'm putting you in a facility where you can heal and not have to do all of that. We'll get help for your husband, but you must. She's the greatest gal. She's a fun-loving person, a wonderful gal, and has suffered a lot over the years. So, Gina, we pray for you right now. Be a good girl. Be a good girl. You don't have to go cleaning. Do you hear me? You're in a facility. Let them help you and treat you so that right arm can get better and you could do all the wonderful things that you do for people. God bless you. So, we will eventually. They've been praying for these intentions. And I'm going to start. I'm going to share with you a little of that story I was telling you about. Okay? Did you ever randomly open scripture and read the first passage that your eyes fell upon? You look at it and you go, oh my, this passage, God's speaking to me. That's exactly where I am right now. That's happening in my life right now. And you feel like you just got a direct message from the Lord. I can remember when some of those moments would happen and they would take my breath away. And you say, oh, God is speaking to little old me, huh? Well, of course, if I didn't like the reading, Lord, can you give me a little passage, another one, something I'm going to like better? But the Lord doesn't work that way. Now, as I said earlier, I have a witness. I can remember during my show business career, I was booked in Johannesburg, South Africa. I had never gone so far away. I mean, I went far away, but not that far. I was a bit apprehensive. I was alone. And the night before the flight, I was visiting my cousin Joan. Now, let me pause there. We recently prayed for Joan. I grew up with Joan. We were first cousins, pals. We fought and we loved each other. Anyway, over Thanksgiving, my dear cousin Joan passed away. She is now with the Lord. And she was also the one that introduced me to the charismatic renewal. She brought me to Holy Spirit. And I learned a whole new depth of prayer. And she was also so supportive of my music ministry, encouraged me every step of the way. So anyway, this night before leaving for Johannesburg, I was visiting Joan. And Joan said, let's pray. Let's pray that you have a safe flight and a successful engagement. Well, we prayed. And after we prayed, we asked the Lord for a scripture reading, for some assurance that God's presence would be with me. Well, the passage that we randomly opened was from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. And it read as follows. Now listen to this reading, because I'm going to repeat parts of it at times during this witness. It's amazing. Thanks be to God, who unfailingly leads us on in Christ's triumphal train and employs us. I was being employed. Employs us to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. We are an aroma of Christ, Christ's incense to God for those who are being saved and those on the way to destruction. For such a mission as this, is anyone really qualified? We speak in Christ's name, pure in motivation, conscious of having been sent by God and of standing in his presence. What a powerful reading. I couldn't believe it. The reading actually spoke of being led on a journey, and that's where I was going. A journey in which we're employed by Christ to spread the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere so that others will come to know him. None of us is qualified for this. I certainly wasn't. But we are told in this reading that when we speak in Christ's name with a pure motivation, knowing that God has sent you and you are standing in his presence, then you become the aroma of Christ. You become the incense going up to God, bearing the fruit of victory in Christ's triumphal train. My friends, I want to tell you, that reading absolutely floored me. It absolutely enveloped me. My cousin Joan then said to me, "Grace, you think you're going to Johannesburg to perform, but you don't know how God is going to use you when you get there." Wow. I was venturing into the unknown. Into the unknown. And that reading gave me courage. I now knew that God would be with me. God might have his own agenda, but he was with me. And I should keep my eyes and ears open. Thank you, Lord. The next day I boarded the plane. And just before takeoff, you got it, opened my handbag, pulled out the tiniest Bible, cupped it in my hand so no one would see it, waited the plane tearing down the runway, and I'm reading the Bible. It goes up, but takes up in the air. I'm fine when I'm in the air, but I don't like to take off, see? So I'm reading the little Bible, and it's making me relax. It's a 15-hour flight to Johannesburg with a stopover in Paris. Paris. Don't get any ideas. Wasn't going to Paris, no. I had about a 5-hour layover before I would take the next train to Johannesburg. Now, I'm in the airport terminal, and I'm tired. And I said, I'm going to have to sit in this terminal for 5 hours. And then all of a sudden, I saw a hotel right in the terminal. I didn't even have to walk outdoors. And I said, I know what I can do. I can rent a room and tell the girl at the front desk, wake me up at 5 o'clock. And then I just go down the elevator and get on my plane. I said, that's a good idea. Do you know, when you think of some of the great ideas you have in life, that has to go down as one of my best. Grace, get those 5 hours sleep right in that hotel room and then get on your plane. Ah, that was wonderful. So I boarded the plane to Johannesburg, and other people were coming on. Well, there was a tall gentleman who boarded in Paris, and he was assigned a seat right next to me. We casually acknowledged each other. And again, the plane's about to tear down the runway. Again, pulled that Bible out. I was convinced this was a private moment, known only to me and the Lord. Well, after about an hour, I noticed the gentleman had fallen asleep. And a couple hours passed, and I heard the stewardess coming with our dinner, and I thought, oh, this is great. I'm a little hungry. So he and I, we started a conversation, this gentleman. We started comparing notes, and he said, I'm the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Johannesburg. What? The Full Gospel? And he said, you know, it's the only charismatic center at that time in Johannesburg. And before you know it, we were engrossed in conversation about our lives and about the Lord. It was unbelievable. So I shared with him my experience in the charismatic renewal at Holy Spirit in Philadelphia. Now, I noticed he was listening to me very attentively. And he said, you know, for the first time, this is the first time that I ever met a Catholic who was involved in the charismatic experience. And he then said, the Full Gospel Fellowship was having a prayer breakfast at the hotel in Johannesburg, and he asked if I would be their guest speaker for breakfast 2 days hence. Unbelievable. Talk about a coincidence, a Christ incidence. It just so happened the hotel they were having the prayer breakfast in was the same hotel I was appearing in. That is a Christ incidence. It sure is. And we just happened to be sitting next to each other. Yes, I accepted the invitation. And then I said to him, isn't it something how we got into this conversation? And he replied, he said, well, I saw you reading that little Bible. And I said to him, well, that was hours ago. How come you didn't start this conversation sooner? In fact, I said, you fell asleep. And he replied with something very special. He said to me, what you were doing was far more important than anything I could have said to you. Wisdom. Wisdom. What a profound lesson for me on waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. So we continued sharing the Lord for the rest of the flight. We weren't even in Johannes. We were still up in the air. And God, Corinthians, was spreading the sweet incense on the airplane. Now, the next day, I had a long, rehearsal at the hotel. The musicians were wonderful. I was going to have an opening night that night. I hadn't recovered from my long flight. I had the rehearsals. I had 2 shows that night. And I had jet lag. Ugh. I was a tired puppy. But God gives us the strength. I had 2 good shows. It was wonderful. The people were wonderful. And I went to bed that night happy. I awoke at 5:30 the following morning to go to the prayer breakfast. And the Lord gives us the strength when we need it. I was there going, wake up, Grace. Wake up, you have to go to the prayer breakfast. Corinthians, you are to start diffusing that sweet fragrance today. And when I arrived at the prayer breakfast, I went into the banquet room. It was full of guests, full of guests. And my friend on the airplane immediately came up to me. He welcomed me. He gave me a seat. And when the time came for me to speak, I was nervous. I thought, I'm the only Catholic in this room. And many of these people, they probably never met a Catholic who had the charismatic experience. How did I wind up with a seat on the airplane next to this man and then become a guest speaker at the prayer breakfast while headlining as the singer in the showroom 2 days later? Lord, you certainly have a sense of humor. I was shaking in my boots, but I had to trust. Like St. Faustina said, trust in the Lord, trust. I was introduced, and when I got up to the podium, I'll tell you all about it. We're going to take a break now, and I have a lot more to tell you. Is this fun or what?
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Okay, so I was introduced and I went up to the podium and I gave my testimony. Told them about my life, where I came from, what I did, how I got involved in the charismatic renewal. And I included that reading from Corinthians. And they connected with that. I read that whole reading. They knew their scripture. Okay, they knew their scripture. And they saw that the reading from Corinthians that dealt with being on the train and the incense going in the air, they sensed that was definitely had to do with my journey to be with them. They knew that. They were wonderful, and I was warmly received. And at the end, I felt like singing a song for them. There was no music there, but I did a simple song, a song that was written by a priest a while back, and you may remember, Thank You, Lord, for Loving Me. It was a wonderful song. Anyway, in that group, there was a group of Chinese Christians. They were Chinese Christian Fellowship. And I was in, as I said, Johannesburg for 1 month. And this group practically adopted me. I mean, we prayed together. We ate together. We partied together. We went sightseeing together. We took pictures together. And when I came down with a bug, yes, I did, got a little sick in Johannesburg, they arranged for a doctor to come to the hotel to care for me. And I got better pretty fast. You see, I didn't tell my brother I got sick in Johannesburg or my family. But I had good care. They cared for me. I got better fast. And I'm going to share with you what happened now the following weekend. The following weekend, the president of the Full Gospel Fellowship, the gentleman I met on the airplane, his friends affectionately called him Uncle Willie. That was his name, Uncle Willie, and his wife's name was Hannah. Beautiful scriptural name. And they threw a large barbecue for me at their home. And many people came. I never saw so many hot dogs, sausages, hamburgers, chicken, everything, all the sides that go with all of that. And they did it in an open pit barbecue. You know those big things that make the food taste really good? I had a feast, and I was humbled by their love and hospitality. I knew in advance that I was going to spend Easter Sunday in Johannesburg. Easter Sunday. And my four friends from the Chinese Fellowship, they were determined I would not be alone. I attended my Easter liturgy at Mass, and then my friends picked me up. We found a spot on the grass. We had picnic with flowers, relaxing and sharing the love of the Lord. We were of different faiths, but the bond that united us was a bond of love and mutual respect. Now, before I left for the States, the Lord presented me with a gift. And the gift was to bring back home something. I met a Christian singer in Johannesburg. Her name was Min Shaw. And Min Shaw was very popular in South Africa. She was wonderful. She autographed her album for me, and there was a song on there called My Tribute to God Be the Glory. I had never heard it before. Andre Crouch had written it, and he was now with the Lord. And the minute I heard it, I knew that the Lord was saying, this song should be part of your repertoire. It spoke of everything I just experienced my trip in Johannesburg. It spoke of the honor, the praise, the glory due to God because of all the things he did for me and all the things he does for all of us, especially his sacrifice on Calvary. I want you to listen to the words of this song and listen to the beautiful arrangement done by Mr. Richie Rome, my composer, my pianist, my conductor, who is also with the Lord. I'd like to sing for you on our CD, To God Be the Glory. Some of the words say, how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done for me. There we are.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory for all the things he has done for me and for all of us. When it came time for me to leave South Africa, another surprise awaited me. The Chinese Fellowship met me at the airport with all of their children. It was wonderful. Lots of hugs and tears. What a gift they were to me. It's now a number of years that have gone by since my trip to South Africa. Uncle Willie has since passed away, as has his wife Hannah. And what remains in my heart is the remembrance of a tall, beautiful man, so gentle, so kind, who loved the Lord very much. This was a man that God chose to put in my path by placing him in the seat next to me in the airplane. It was his sensitivity of spirit that let him be still and go to sleep while I was reading scripture. It was his invitation to speak at their prayer breakfast that opened up a whole world of brothers and sisters in Christ. It was the barbecue with the aroma of food and the aroma of Christ that filled our beings. And only the Lord knows what healings taken place in our hearts of his people that month, the days, the months, the years that have now passed. And I'm sure Uncle Willie will let me know when we meet in the kingdom, huh? You know, there was a part of the trip that I did find painful. I did find very painful. At that time in South Africa, apartheid, the segregation between the races, was still in existence. And I experienced firsthand things that we would read in the newspapers and on television back home. Driver was driving me around, but he was driving in this big street, and I kept wanting peeping down the narrow streets, and I said, can we go down some of these streets? And he said, no, he says, you're not allowed to go down there. He said, that's Soweto. Wow. From a distance, I kept trying to see. There's some abhorrent conditions. And I said to myself, someday, this is going to explode. I said, these people cannot live like this. Every human being craves for independence and freedom, freedom that God has given them. It's as much a part of them as the air they breathe. A few weeks after I left South Africa, Soweto exploded. Demonstrations, violence, it led to the end of apartheid. Christ paid a great price for our freedom, and a great price was paid to end apartheid. On my last Sunday morning in Johannesburg, I went to Mass, went back to my hotel room, and in the hotel room was a chambermaid. She was making up my room. She looked out her window. She looked out, we were both looking out the window, and I pointed to the church in the distance. I said, see that church? I just came from there. I said, it's beautiful inside. She said, she's not allowed to go to any church like that. She said, the blacks own their own churches. And I told her she was allowed. I had come back from that Mass, and I said to her, I saw some of my black sisters and brothers sitting in the pews. She looked at me in amazement. Then she looked through the window again. She was thinking. I could see she was thinking. And I encouraged her. I said, there's a Catholic church there. I encouraged her, go and see. I saw them sitting there. And I thought of that reading in Corinthians. Thanks be to God who unfailingly leads us on in Christ's triumphal train and employs us to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. I often wonder all these years later if she ever went to sea, if she ever went to sea. This woman had a strong character, and in my heart I believe that she did. It was a beautiful moment. And do you see how Corinthians, that passage, kept touching this one and this one and this one? And now, another one. A surprising moment occurred that took this trip to another level. I was sitting with one of the young men from the prayer group, and others had kind of gone out. Then we went to do some shopping. So it was just the two of us. And he suddenly asked me about the Blessed Mother. My ears perked up. It seemed that he knew some things about Mary, and I sensed he had some Catholic background. But he wasn't comfortable speaking about Our Lady with others around. We were alone, and he did this. And I gently shared with him as much as I was able to, with the short amount of time that we had. We didn't have much time. And I said to him, just the fact, I said, that you took this private moment to ask me about Mary tells me that Mary herself wants you to know that she is with you, that she loves you, and she is guiding you. I looked up and he had tears in his eyes. And I said, Mary is going to use you. You have a mission here. He saw himself as a person who wasn't important. He wasn't in leadership or anything. He just, you know. I said, you will be Mary's prophet here. The light of Christ will shine even greater here when you bring Our Lady to your friends. It won't be easy. You may experience rejection, but Mary will teach you. She'll protect you. Just stay in prayer. Stay close to her. Speak to a Catholic priest. Have him teach you the rosary, or one of his parishioners teach you the rosary and say the rosary. It's a powerful weapon. One of our saints, Padre Pio, calls it his weapon. Stay close to Mary. I wish you could have seen his face. He was deeply moved. He was affirmed in his belief of Mary, and all that he needed was an okay. All he needed was someone to say to him, my friend, you are on the right track. And I could already see a change in him. It was unexpected. I found that so unexpected. I didn't expect it. And it was beautiful to witness. And there it was again. Corinthians. Thanks be to God who unfailingly leads us on in Christ's triumphal train and employs us to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. Everywhere. That is just so, so beautiful. I have a few more prayer intentions here. And this is one I think you should hear because it's current. It's actually current. It's current with me, I know. First thing I want to do, though, is lift up my dear sister-in-law, Kate. Kate passed a few years back. March 28th is her anniversary. She's terribly missed by my brother, her husband, my dear godchild niece, Alexandria. So we lift Kate up today and pray for her. And I know she's listening. She listens to all of my programs. She was a great support also. So we lift her up today. Now, we're looking here at eyes. We had a prayer intention. His name was Jimmy. We prayed for him before, waiting for the result. He had a cancer behind the pupil of his eye. They put a metal plate on the eye and covered it. And he had to stay 4 days in residence. Let's see, 4 days in residence in the Will's Eye Hospital for the treatment to work. It's the only way to treat that tumor with this plate on the eye. And it was a concern, and we're praying that it was successful. We pray the cancer is gone and that Jimmy's sight returns to normal. We pray for a complete healing for Jimmy. Now, Paul is the son of a dear friend in Massachusetts who is a regular listener to our program. Louise, thank you, Louise, for listening to us. Paul, his eye, he had a detached retina. He had surgery, and they did surgery immediately, and he was doing fine with it. And then a few days later, the other eye, detached retina, and they're right now determining how to treat him. And he's kind of down with all this, and you can't, you know, you can understand why. So we're praying for you, Paul, for complete healing. And to share with you, I myself, in fact, I'm glad I can see through these glasses. A few days back on March 4th, I had eye surgery. My right eye, left eye is yet to come. And it was a combination of cataracts, glaucoma, and some other things that were in there. And usually I, before going under something in surgery, maybe you do the same thing. I usually say a little quick prayer. And anyway, the place was packed with people, and I never realized how many people out there have eye problems. In fact, I'm lifting every one of you up right now who have eye problems. So before I went under, usually I would say a line from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But a couple days before, my eyes fell on something else. It was a prayer from St. Gertrude the Great in her extracts from Revelations. And it hit me because it spoke of eyes. So before the doctor put me under, this is what I learned, I studied, and I said it before I went under. And it says, "It is you, my God, who can know how not only my soul, but also the powers of my heart. I found pleasure in this happy vision." She had a vision that God was next to her face looking at her. And she said this, "The brightness of your eyes, Lord, like two suns, S-U-N-S, the brightness of your eyes looked straight into my own. I perceived the gentle light proceeding from thy divine eyes and passing through mine, spreading itself in every part of me and seeming to fill all my members with a wonderful power and strength." And God answers her. The Lord spoke. And he said this, "All those who meditate frequently on the vision of my divine face, attracted by the desires of love, shall receive within them, through my humanity, a bright ray of my divinity, which shall enlighten their inmost souls, so that they shall reflect the light of my countenance in a special manner throughout eternity." That light of Christ going through her eyes, powerful like two suns, going through to her eyes. This is a powerful prayer of St. Gertrude the Great. And as I prayed it today, I prayed it for every one of you out there with light problems. And I know there are a lot, because when I arrived at the office for my visit, there were 18 people sitting there. I said, "Oh, Lord, I hope 9 of these people are their drivers." But thank God it was successful. I go in for my next one, maybe in beginning of April, for the left eye. And it's wonderful what they can do these days, what they can clear up and give you your vision again. So this is just a wonderful thing. And I wanted to get that thing in with for the eyes. I never realized how many people out there suffer with eye injuries, with eye problems. Now, let's see, we have time here, we have a little more. I think this is wonderful because I can share some of these prayer intentions with you. My dear friend Mary DeAngelis fell, she tripped over a wire. She also gives us a lot of prayer intentions, but this time it's for her. She tripped over a wire, fell so hard onto the floor, and kind of severed the humerus bone, the radial bone in her arm. So the last few weeks, she's been wearing those things they put around you to keep your eye tight, your arm tight. She did have a little infection, but we're praying. Mary, you're listening. I know you're listening. We're praying for you for complete healing, and you'll eventually get back to driving, okay? The doctor said she could drive, but she's holding off, and I don't blame her. So that is so, so beautiful that we pray for her. We pray for, Helen Buxton. Helen, my brother gave me this prayer. Helen Buxton, Helen had a terrible cough. She kept coughing and coughing and coughing. She finally went to the doctor, and the doctor, they gave her tests. And the tests reveal that she had breast cancer that had metastasized to her lungs. And she was going to go through hormonal therapy. Helen, what a shock this had to be to you. What a shock that you think you're going in for a bad cough. So many bugs out there today. We pray for you. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, this was a shock to this woman. I pray, Lord, that you heal her, that you completely and totally heal her. All the way, the breast surgery, even that bad cough that she had, the whole thing, Lord. We ask that you heal Helen. Give her peace, Lord. Give her peace. Her family also must be so taken with this. So turn to him, Helen. Turn to the Lord in your concern, and pray for your doctors that their hands be the hands of Jesus Christ operating on you or whatever has to take place. We pray for that for you, Helen. It's just so wonderful that we could come to the Lord and we could pray like this. Maybe we have one more. I'm not sure if we have one more to pray for, but just let me say, I've had a wonderful time praying for you today and telling you this incredible story. You can see the Lord's hands, his movement in all of this. Usually I'll say, was that the Lord? And I go, no, I don't think so. This time I knew. My friends, I knew God was moving me every step of the way. Oh, yes, the singing engagement went well. I was thankful for that. But the people I met, one at a time, and the fragrance of God's incense going up, touching them, healing us, bringing people of different faiths together. They never met a Catholic who had the charismatic experience. I was stunned by that. But it brought us closer together. Uncle Willie, Hannah, up in the kingdom, I thank you for all you did for me. I thank you. Say hi to my mom and dad, my family up there. I know they're all listening and enjoying this today. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Amen.